Let me set the scene for you. It's 1997. You're up late. You've got AM radio dialed in. And suddenly, some guy calls in to Coast AM, that weird late night show where conspiracy theorists, UFO nuts, and ex-government insiders go to either spill their guts or completely lose their minds. Except, this guy did both. He says he's a former Area 51 employee. He's panicked, breathing hard, clearly on the move. And then he says something that still makes my skin crawl. They are not what they claim to be. He doesn't sound like a hoaxer. He doesn't sound like he's screwing around. He sounds like he's about 30 seconds away from getting wiped off the map. And then, right as he starts talking about safe zones and biological threats and some incoming catastrophe, the broadcast goes dead. Boom. National satellite link offline. The whole show goes dark. No static, no backup feed, just gone. And when they come back, Art Bell, the host, is white-knuckled. He doesn't play it cool. He doesn't laugh it off. He sounds like a guy who just watched something real slip through the cracks and get erased in real time. So what the hell just happened? Did some dude really call in with secret intel from Area 51? Or did the government pull the plug on a live show because he got too close? And if it was fake, why did the signal die? Hey folks, before we dive deeper, quick favor please. If you want more stories like this, the kind that slip through the cracks and barely survive the algorithm, please help me by subscribing. No fluff, no sponsors, just weird truths most channels won't touch. All right, back into it. All right, so here's what you're about to hear. September 11th, 1997, live broadcast of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Art takes a call from a guy claiming to be an ex-employee from Area 51. He says he was discharged for medical reasons, which already sounds like the kind of vague red flag you see in every whistleblower's personnel file. Then the call starts to spiral. Panic, disorientation, rambling. But not the kind that sounds fake. The kind that sounds like someone who's way too close to something they weren't supposed to see. And then the power cuts, right in the middle of the broadcast. No signal, no static, just gone. Here's the actual call, unedited. Listen closely.
I don't have a whole lot of time.
Well, look, let's begin by finding out whether you're using this line properly or not.
Area 51.
Yeah, that's right. Were you an employee or are you now?
A former employee.
Former employee.
I was let go on a medical discharge about a week ago, and... I've kind of been running across the country. Oh man, I don't know where to start. They'll triangulate on this position really, really soon.
So you can't spend a lot of time on the phone. So give us something quick.
Okay. Okay. What we're thinking of as aliens are they're extra dimensional beings that. An earlier precursor of the space program made contact with. They are not what they claim to be. They have infiltrated a lot of aspects of the military establishment, particularly the Area 51. The disasters that are coming, the military. I'm sorry, the government knows about them, and there's a lot of safe areas in this world that they could begin moving the population to now, Art.
But they're not doing anything.
They are not. They want the major population centers wiped out so that the few that are left will be more easily controllable.
Discharge. some way, something knocked us off the air, and we're on a backup system now.
It's the government, or...
I don't know.
It has to be something, though.
Well, did you hear... Now, you tell me, because you were listening.
That was awful strange.
There was a really weird guy on the air when it went off?
Yeah. Real weird out.
Like, going... Sort of sounding paranoid.
Yeah.
Schizophrenic.
Like crying and everything.
Yeah. And how far into the conversation was it when it went off?
Just a couple, about 15, 20 seconds, I'd say.
Oh, you really missed the call then, and I've got a feeling somebody didn't want you to hear it.
Yeah. Now imagine hearing that live at 2 a.m. on the open airwaves, when that was the only signal keeping you company. It wasn't just what he said, it was how he said it. No script, no punchline, just raw, unfiltered panic. He wasn't warning the public, he was running for his life. And the moment he got too specific, the lights went out. So here's the weirdest part of the whole thing. That call didn't just end. The entire national satellite uplink carrying Coast to Coast AM went down. Mid-broadcast, no warning, no backup feed, just dead air. Art Bell, who'd been doing this for years, openly admitted he had never seen that happen before. This wasn't some tiny local station running off a janky backup generator. This was a nationally syndicated show broadcasting through satellite link GE1, which handled signals for tons of commercial media networks. And somehow, right as the guy starts panicking about government safe zones and non-human threats, it crashes. Not after, not before, during. Now let's be fair. The official story was that it was a technical malfunction on the satellite's end. GE1 had a brief systems glitch that momentarily interrupted transmission. But the satellite provider? They never publicly confirmed the glitch. No detailed report, no root cause analysis. Just a shrug and a vanishing act. And here's the million-dollar question. If the call was a hoax, why did the signal cut exactly when it did? Why didn't it happen 5 minutes earlier, or 5 minutes later, or more importantly, any other night? Because Art Bell kept doing shows for years. Wild callers, shocking claims, weird rants. No other signal failure like that one, ever. Months after the infamous Area 51 call aired, after the chaos, the signal blackout, the legend spreading through every corner of conspiracy radio, another call came in. Same show, same host, but this time, the voice was calm. Too calm. The caller claimed to be the same guy who'd called in months earlier, and this time, he laughed. Said the whole thing was a joke. Said he and a friend made it up. Said he couldn't believe how many people fell for it. Art Bell accepted it, moved on, case closed. At least, that's what it was supposed to sound like. But if you listen to the two calls back to back, something's off. The original voice? Shaky, frantic. Sounding like he was watching something approach while he was on the phone. The second one, relaxed, smug, like a guy reading a script he didn't write. And the audience didn't buy it. Even hardcore skeptics started asking, why would someone commit to a hoax with that level of intensity, then randomly come clean months later? Why would Art Bell air that follow-up with no vetting, especially after what happened the first time? And how convenient is it that the hoax excuse lined up perfectly with what the show's sponsors and syndicators would want after the original call torpedoed a live feed? Could it have been a prank? Absolutely. But here's the problem with that theory. There are way better ways to prank a radio show than causing a national satellite failure. That second call didn't feel like closure. It felt like containment. Like someone realized the original call couldn't stay unexplained. So they threw a wet blanket over it. Calm voice. Just kidding. In a story that ends in a shrug. But here's the thing. The public didn't forget. Because when you hear something that real, that raw, that unrehearsed. You can't fake that. And if the second call was a cleanup job, it was already too late. The Area 51 caller wasn't the first person to say too much and go dark. And he definitely wasn't the last. Because if there's one thing we've learned covering this kind of story, it's that there's a playbook. And it always starts the same way. Someone talks, then something breaks, then everyone forgets. Let's run the short list. Number one, Phil Schneider, military contractor, claimed he worked on underground bases and encountered non-human entities at Dolce. Publicly said he was being hunted, said he had physical evidence, said they wouldn't let him keep talking. He was found dead in 1996. Official cause? Suicide. Friend said, nope. The tubing used to strangle him couldn't have been self-applied. Medical examiner's notes? Gone. Death photos? Never released. Number two, Gary McKinnon. British hacker, broke into NASA and US military servers in the early 2000s looking for UFO data. He claimed to find lists of non-terrestrial officers, fleet-to-fleet transfer logs that didn't match any known U.S. naval operations, and mentions of craft names that didn't exist in public records. The U.S. tried to extradite him for a 70-year prison sentence. But the weird part? They never disputed what he found. They just said he shouldn't have seen it. Number three, Bob Lazar, the man who put Area 51 on the map. He said he worked on reverse-engineered craft at a facility called S4 near Groom Lake. After his story broke, his employment records vanished. Degrees disputed. Work history erased. But polygraphs, consistency, and later whistleblowers all quietly confirmed he was telling the truth. And his descriptions of propulsion systems matched what mainstream science wouldn't confirm for another 20 years. So what do we have? A military contractor who warned of a silent war underground, dead under sketchy circumstances. A hacker who found files that shouldn't exist and nearly got life in prison. A physicist who blew the whistle on alien tech and got erased on paper. And right in the middle of them, an anonymous voice on AM radio who said too much and got cut off mid-sentence. The same playbook, the same pattern. Silence, ridicule, vanish. And every time someone comes close to confirming it, the story changes. The signal drops, the file gets sealed. Which brings us back to that night in 1997. The Area 51 caller didn't just call into a radio show. He tapped into a fault line. And for a moment, a short, terrifying moment, the mask slipped. It's easy to hear a call like that and write it off. Another guy with a story. Another weird night on radio. Another anonymous voice that vanished into static. But if you really listen, not just to what he said, but to how he said it, it didn't sound like a performance. It sounded like a man who knew he'd already gone too far. A man trying to get one last message out before something found him. And the moment he started connecting dots, the feed went dead. That wasn't just interference. That was a system doing what it was designed to do. Whether he was real or not, the reaction to that call was. And maybe that's the scarier part. Because the scariest thing about the Area 51 caller is that someone might have told the truth. And we were too busy debating the signal drop to realize what he was actually trying to warn us about. All right, folks, that was Divergent Files Flash File. Quick, dirty, no filter, just the kind of story that makes you want to unplug your router and stare at the ceiling. I'm Ralph, and if this one hit you like it hit us, go ahead and like, subscribe, and tap all the little algorithm levers that let us keep making content that probably gets flagged somewhere in a basement at Langley. Want to go deeper down the rabbit hole? Patreon.com/divergentfiles. For $3 a month, it gets you the extended stuff, early access, and episodes that'll never see the light of YouTube. And yeah, we've got a podcast now, Divergent Files Project Podcast, available everywhere. Longer form, no filters, no babysitters. Got a theory, a tip, a story no one's touched because it's too weird, too forgotten, or too radioactive? Drop it in the comments. You'd be surprised how many of our episodes start exactly that way. Hey, thanks for watching. Thanks for questioning. And until next time, stay weird, stay skeptical, and remember, you are most definitely appreciated.